It's just a joy to be here. I've already told several of you this, but it's mandatory to give you the corny joke. I haven't seen you since last year, so there you are. I don't know where you all been all this year, but now we're back, and so thank you for being in church this morning. I know you don't have to be in the building to start the year off right, but what a better way to start the year off than be gathered together with a bunch of Christians around the Word of God, singing the songs of Zion, getting to hear the choir sing, and hopefully getting encouraged one with another. It's just a great place to be, and I trust that throughout this year that we've got hundreds more people that will find that Buffalo Ridge is the Sunday place to be. If you're joining us via the radio, thank you so much. This is Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm the pastor here, and if you're with live stream visiting us, thank you so much for joining us that way. But look at this crowd. Thank you for being here on January 1st. I want to preach about this, how to go into 2023, because here we are. We're into it by one part of a day, but how to go into 2023, and I want to preach from Joshua chapter 1, one of your, probably many of you, that your favorite Bible character is Joshua. And Joshua chapter 1, as you find your place there in Joshua 1, I did hear this story about this fella. He was running way behind. He stopped by the market to get a turkey because his wife said he was supposed to get one before the Christmas holidays and before it was too late so she could cook it. And he said, oh, my wife's going to kill me if I don't get that. So he pulled on in there and asked the butcher. He said, let me see what you got left. And the butcher went back to where they stored the turkeys, and there was just this one little scrawny turkey. Didn't look like it was big enough to feed a family of two, let alone a family of six or seven. But that's all that they had. So the butcher came out and said, well, this is the turkey we got. And that guy said, oh my goodness. He said, that's too small, too scrawny. I don't think that'll do us. And so, what else you got? So the butcher took it back. And he said, well, I know I don't have anything else back here, but he wanted to wait a few minutes just to make him think. He was looking all through all of his supplies back there. And so he brought out the same turkey. He said, well, I got this one. He said, well, that's better than the last one, that's for sure, yeah. He said, but you know, that's still too small. Go back and get that other one, and I'll take both of them. So be careful, you dishonest butchers. So I want us to take inventory today. You know, many times we're no different at the end of one year than we were at the beginning. And sometimes a year, our lives go in seasons. And I don't just mean the four seasons that we get to enjoy here, but I mean life go in seasons. Sometimes for a year or two, you'll be in one season. It's just kind of the way that God's allowing you to muse on some things, and sometimes good seasons, sometimes bad. But I want to take inventory today and give you some scriptural mandates from the book of Joshua, because Joshua was up for a big task. Joshua was going to take the people of God after the man of God, Moses, had gone off the scene. And I trust that today we'll see how to go into 2023. Look at Joshua 1, verse 1. We'll read the first 9 verses for our message this morning. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast, or that'll be your border there. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. This is a wonderful pep talk from God to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I won't preach on verse 8. We've preached on different times, of course. It's a wonderful passage, but it's just a lot of truth in there. But look at the last phrase, then thou shalt have good success. Now, we may not always label success what the world labels success, but when somebody says, oh, God doesn't want you to be successful, that's a lie. He wants you to be successful. It's just the biblical order or definition of success is not always what the world's definition of success is. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Out of those verses, I'd like to preach this message this morning to you, how to go into 2023. And it just seems like some points out of this passage the Lord impressed upon my heart this week as I was thinking, well, how do we start the new year? If you give me these next 15, 20 minutes, I'd like to give you some things from the Scripture I think will be a blessing. Father, be with us now. Lord, we covet your presence. And oh, dear Lord, I pray that you would move on the hearts of everybody in this room. You know there's a lot of prayer that's already gone into this service. I pray that you would move upon every heart. If somebody's unsaved, dear Lord, today would be the day they would trust Christ. And Lord, there's many folks that are discouraged, thinking they can't hardly put one foot in front of the other, let alone go forward. I pray that you'd strengthen them today. Strengthen those feeble knees, dear Lord, those hands that hang down. Bless us today with your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. According to InsideOutMastery.com, just a website that talks about New Year's and resolutions and new horizons and all these things, they say 23% of us quit after the first week after we made a New Year's resolution. So if you're going to eat less, exercise more, eat healthy, be more this, be better that, enjoy it this week because statistically, this is the only week you're going to do it. Or I could say, if you promise to eat healthier, just endure it. 7 days is not that long. If you make it past the first week, 64% of us will quit after the first month. And according to Strava, this running and cycling app, they say that it's most common for people to quit on the second Friday of the month that they start whatever cycling or hiking or whatnot. So they give it 2 weeks. I'm not here to tell you how to keep your resolutions. I mean, I can tell you, you're better off to make small resolutions like, I'm going to not eat this one thing instead of I'm just going to eat healthier, or I'm going to exercise more. Better to put on there an amount and say, I'm going to do this every 3 times a week or whatever. But I'm not here to tell you how to keep your resolutions. I'm actually here to tell you from the Scriptures how that we can get out of the ungodly cycle of feeling worthless and hopeless and like God doesn't want us to do something. Because that feeling is not what the Scripture gives. You read every scriptural character, and you'll find people that God wanted to take and use even though they had great difficulties. You take Joseph, who we're not today, but you take Joseph who kept getting beat down. God said, I've got bigger things for you. You take people like Doubting Thomas, who had a proclivity toward having that doubt because he kept, that's how we know him, Doubting Thomas, but God still used him in a special way. And so what I'd like to do today is see how we could look forward and see what God wants us to do in this new year. This is not a self-help seminar. This is not, hey, you can do it. You can do it. Go forward. This is a biblical message about how we can go into this 2023. Here's why I believe that many of us have problems with the way we view things. I believe that we're looking inward because we've heard it so much on movies and cartoons and things. Follow your heart. You know, the world says follow your heart. God says follow me. The world says reach down in there. You can find some power to muscle through. God says there's nothing down there of any value. Instead, look up. And so I believe the reason we're having trouble with our outlook is because we're looking inward instead of looking upward. And so in 2023, as we move on into here, I want you to remember that there's a reason why you can go forward, and that is because God is for thee. Joshua was ready to take the reins from Moses. Moses was dead. And God was going to use Joshua to lead the people on to the promised land. And I want to give you 3 or 4 points that I believe will help us as we look at the biblical lessons from him. Number one, if you would look at verse number 2, the Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Excuse me. Now, therefore, arise. I'm going to give you, first of all, to say, if we're going to go forward in 2023, we're going to have to leave yesterday behind. What do you get that from, Pastor? I see because it says in verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, the guy that you followed so faithfully for all these years, Joshua, the man of God, is gone. Joshua, your hero, is gone. Joshua, the guy that you thought could almost do no wrong, although he did, is gone. And Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. And so what I'm going to say to our church this morning is if we're going to go forward in 2023, we're going to have to leave the past in the past. Moses, by many people's estimation, was the greatest leader to ever have walked the earth, of course, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the best leader in the Bible. He was so close to God that God allowed him to see the hinder parts of him as he passed by and saw his glory. In Moses' case, there was no funeral director needed, no grave digger needed, no undertaker needed. God tended to all that and buried him somewhere up there on Mount Nebo. Israel wept for 30 days straight after the death of Moses. This was better than any king. This was better than any president. This was better than any leader that's been known. This was the man of God. He was also the leader. He was everything to those people. How would you like to follow that act? That's a task that's pretty overwhelming. And if Joshua was going to get anything done for the Lord, he was going to have to leave some things behind him. About half of you in this crowd, you use something today, and you didn't even realize it, but we all use something today, as about half of you, the drivers in here, were the people that drove to church today. You use something that illustrates this point so beautifully. You had a large windshield on the front of your car. If you're like me, you had to wait a little while for the dew and all that to get off of it, because it parked outside. Somebody else had the garage, so I was parked out there. But you had this large windshield. And you could see all the places you need to see to go. But there was a small device up there, either hooked to the windshield by some pretty strong glue or from the top of your roof that hung down, a little mirror that was about that large. If you have a fancy truck, sometimes it's not even a mirror. It's a camera shown from the back of the truck, but it still shows the image that's behind you. Now think with me about the proportions of that rearview mirror compared to that windshield. We are not going in backwards very often. That's why the windshield is so large. We've got to look once in a while at the rearview mirror to make sure some maniac isn't back there running us down. And just once in a while, see where we've been. If we're going to change lanes, we look at that, maybe check the other mirrors and do a quick head turn. But there's a big old windshield there that's cleared off. You can see all the way through it. All the way from the horizon is open to you through this windshield. You got your side windows, of course, if it gets over here to your side. But the bulk of your viewing is out through that windshield. And that rearview mirror versus that windshield so wonderfully illustrates the point I want to get to you today. There's many people in this room and many people in our Christian lives, we are so enamored with the past that we can't do anything in the future. We're so worried about the mistakes that we made back there that we won't take the next step because we'll make the mistake today, also because we're too worried about the mistake we made yesterday. Listen, folks, there's going to have to be a decision made in your life, just like there was in Joshua's life. He could have sat there in the ashes of his life and said, there's no leader like Moses, and that's probably true. There's no way I can be the leader that Moses could be, and that's true. There's no way that I can make the decisions that Moses did. There's probably no chance that I'll ever see the hindermost parts of God as his glory passes by, and that was true. But Joshua could have gotten down in the mully grubs and said, I'll never be the leader that Moses was, and so I might as well just quit. But if Joshua was ever going to go on, Moses was dead. Moses' chance to lead was dead. His memory lingered on, but he was gone. He was not going to lead the Israelites. He was not going to lead the Jewish people. He was not going to be the man of God anymore because God had already said, Moses, you come up to be with me. And so if anybody was going to lead the people of God, it was going to have to be Joshua. But if he was going to lead, he was going to have to leave the past in his rearview mirror. Now, there's some people in this room, and I'll just delve just a little bit off of that, either because of past failures or, delve off, past successes, that we're so proud of what we've done in the past, we think we get a pass for the future. Can you just pretend that you're waking up today with a new day? There's no successes back there. There's no failures back there. All you've got is a blank, empty sheet here, and you and God can do whatever God wants you to do. That's what Joshua had to do. Moses, my servant is dead. Look at the very next phrase that God says. Now, therefore, arise. Some people would say, well, God wasn't very sympathetic to him, was he? I don't know. You can't question God. He is who he is. But he said one emphatic statement, Moses is dead. Now, Joshua, get up, boy. Because I've got some work that I need to do. You mamas know this. You that have raised somebody, you know what it's like, not to have a lost loved one, I hope, but you know what it's like when you've been working all through the night feverishly, trying to take care of sick kids here and sick kids here and worries about this and worries about this. And then what happens? The other one wakes up. What do you not get to say? You don't get to say, hey, no, I already put in my hours. I'm clocking out. You just... that one's to bed now, but the other one's is up now. So mama, get up. And you're going to have to leave those successes and those failures behind. Leave yesterday behind. Let me hasten on. Look at verse number 3 and 4. Not only should we leave yesterday behind, but we see in verse number 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that I've given you. Verse 4, from the wilderness of Lebanon, even the great rivers, Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the end of the great sea, all of that. I see not only did we leave yesterday behind because Moses is dead. Get up, boy, let's go. But I also see, number 2, you're going to have to claim what God has given to you. You say, what's he given to me? I don't know. I don't know what he's given to me all. But I know what he gave to the people of Israel. He said, I've given you unto every place so your foot will tread. He says, from the wilderness of Lebanon, even the great river, into the Hittites and all that. He had laid out that borders. And he says, go get it. Now, I don't know what to tell you to go get. And I don't even know all of what I can tell me to go get. But I know God knows it. And I'm convinced, as I am, that I'm standing in shoe leather, that God's got a purpose for every single one of us this year. Amen. We may not make it through all this year, so I can't say that he's going to let us get to the next new year, because some of us may be gone. I may be one of, who knows? But I know that while we're still breathing, we take that breathing test, that check to see if we're still breathing, then God's got a purpose for you. But Pastor, I don't teach here. I don't usher here. I don't greet here. I don't play the piano here. I don't sing in the choir here. I'm not saying that you've got a purpose in a public ministry, but all of us have a purpose in God's ministry. The least of the ministries that are going on is the one guy hollering up front in the service this morning. There's been so much ministry going on before this service, during this service, before this service, through this week leading up to this service, I'm trying to say. There's all parts of it. I think I'm going to present it sometime, but just give you a little heads up. Sometimes people will say to me, Pastor, I just can't do anything because my physical body, is strength is gone. I said, you've entered into the most important ministry we've got. Your bedridden soul can pray for your pastor. Pray for those buses that get out there. I prayed this week as I was looking out the window at these buses. I said, Lord, too many of those sit here, not being used on Sunday. And I tell people, pray that God would raise up workers. Get those buses back out on the road and make Daniel work at trying to how to figure out how to get the kids taken care of. I don't know what God has for us. But I know that as Israel was have to claim what God had for them, and they didn't know yet either. Joshua was just getting the instructions. God's got something for you. Let me illustrate it like this. Quite often we'll order meals. Phyllis will, Stephanie will, somebody will, or different folks of some event that's happening here. Excuse me. We'll order food from Food City, Cracker Barrel, Fazoli's, or Bob Evans, or one of the others. Of course, we order a lot of pizza with Kyle and the youth group and things. We'll have it for rehearsal dinners. We'll have it for funerals. We'll have it for parties. We'll have it for Sunday school classes. We'll have it for fellowships. We'll have food for lots of different things, men's prayer breakfast and all that. And we'll order it from these different places. Do you know what that pickup person, that's the designated person to go to Food City, Fazoli's, wherever, do you know what that pickup person does not have to do when they get there? They do not have to think about what they want to order. They don't have to place the order. They don't have to pay for the order. All those things were already done by somebody before, either back in the offices or online. They already decided what they wanted. They already had the count of how many people was going to come. They already decided they want chicken fingers or ham or wanted this or that or the other. They already made all those decisions. And most of the time, we went ahead and paid for it with a credit card online or on the phone. And that pickup person, all they have to do, you'll think this is too deep for your country preacher, all they got to do is pick up the food, pick up the groceries. I don't know what God has for you and for me this year. But I know my God well enough to know that He's got something for every one of us.
Amen.
And as Israelites were commanded of God to go claim what God had given them, our God's already in our tomorrows. He's around us. He's above us. He's below us. He's within us. He goes everywhere. God goes with us. And the Bible says in verse number 5, as I was with Moses, Joshua, so I will be with you. So don't get out there and thinking you're the only one out there, that nobody's with me and nobody knows what I'm going through. Oh, my friend, I may not be able to be there. Or another brother or sister in Christ might not be able to be there. But when father and mother forsook me, God took me up, the Bible says. Claim what God has for us. And then lastly, verse number 6 and 7. While you're claiming what God has for you, be strong. Verse number 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Friend of this people shall thou divide. Verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. In verse number 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, while you're claiming what God has for you. And again, I already told you, I don't know what it is. Take strength. Be strong. The Bible says in verse number Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can do what's on the horizon for this year. I'll do you better than that. I know you can't do what's on the horizon for this year. Not in our own power. With men, these things shall be impossible, but with God, all things or nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
Listen, folks, I already told you, we've watched too many Disney movies. We've watched too much goodwill thinking. Oh, just follow your heart, reach down in there and get all the power and you can do it. The further down I reach, you know what I find? More of the same. Inability, indecisiveness, and false assurances. But the more that I look up, I find more of the same. An ever able God.
Amen.
So I don't know what's on your horizon, but I'm asking you this morning, as Joshua was told by God, be strong. This is not the year to wonder if maybe you can't make it. As long as God keeps you, you can make it. God knew that difficulties would come. That's why He had to tell him multiple times. Verse number 6, verse number 7, verse number 9. That's why He had to tell him again and again. When you go into a bank, if you go in this week, credit union, most of the time you'll see that little sticker somewhere there on the door or somewhere, federally insured by the FDIC. Why is that there? Well, it links all the way back, I guess, to the Great Depression. But if they ever had runs on the bank like they did back in those days, that you can be assured that your deposits are insured up to $250,000, I think it is. What's that bank saying? You can trust us. Because they put the stamp of the FDIC on there, and they're saying, be strong. You can trust us in this. Well, I don't know about that bank. I don't know about the FDIC. I don't know how assured. You're only assured as the agency that's backing it up. And so you can go to town about whether you think that's true or not. But I'm telling you that when God tells you to be strong and the power of His might, you can take it all the way to the bank and be assured. Moses was gone. Joshua was at the horizon, the threshold. He was either going to cross over and follow God and lead the people, or he's going to say, oh my, I don't think I can be a Moses. I don't think I can do what the old man did. You remember as he came down, his face was shining? I've never had that experience. You remember as he saw the glory of God pass by, and God had a special little place for him in the cliff of the rock? I don't think I could do that. This is the man that went up and got the stones twice from the finger of God. Joshua stood at the threshold. And I'm convinced through the scripture there that he had to leave some past in the past. If he was keep on looking at his insecurities and kept on looking at his inabilities and kept on looking at the superiority of his predecessor, I think he said, could you choose somebody else? Is Caleb still around? Could you choose someone else to do this? I believe he left the past in the past. I already told you that rearview mirror. You do have to look back there once in a while to make sure everything's still in check. But if you spend most of your time looking back, you'll miss what God has for you out here. And then not only did he leave that behind, but then he came to a place where he says, I'm going to claim what God has for us. Call unto me, and you'll hear this verse here in the next few weeks. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I don't know what all God has in store for us this year, but I'm excited to find out. And by his grace, I want to stake claim on what he's got for us. And if we're going to do that, we're going to have to do the final thing that Joshua learned, and that is roll up your sleeves and be strong in the Lord. Let God's power show through your activities. So I believe, my friend, that that's the message that the Lord has given for me today for how you and I need to go into 2023. Tonight I'm going to give, I believe, if God will let me, the sister, if it is, a message of that from the same passage, some things to remember while you're going and doing these three things. But I believe this is like our strategy plan. Because I don't get everybody together except a couple times a week. This is our strategy plan. Because I want you to succeed and do everything that God wants for you. But I believe you're going to have to employ these tactics from the Word of God. Or else we'll fail. And now before we leave, perhaps you're here, as I've already mentioned. Maybe you're a guest or maybe you're not. And I just told you from the Bible how to go forward into 2023. But if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, 2023 is not going to be any better than 2022 was if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You've been wondering why things have been going so wrong. You've been wondering why things seem to be in such a mess. Without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior from your sins, my friend, you're just going from one bad event to the next. Oh, maybe you'll have a high day here once in a while, but then back down. If you're here today and not sure that you're saved, don't try to say, well, that pastor said just go forward. Without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior, you'll never have peace that God wants to give you. Amen. If you've been worried, wondering, fretting over things in your life, thinking, I just can't have any assurance. Well, if you're not saved and you're not on your way to heaven, no wonder. If you're here today and you know for sure, or you don't know for sure, rather, that you're on your way to heaven, please don't try to take these truths from this passage and say, okay, I'll just muscle my way through it. You'll be miserable as all get out. My friend, if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, I don't care whether you're a church member, first-time guest, or you've been several times, that makes no difference. You need to be assured that you've had a time in your life when you asked Jesus to save you and forgive your sins. Because without that, you can't have that peace, that assurance that God wants you to have. Whatever your need is, I trust that in these next moments that you do business with the Lord. Would you bow your heads together with me? Lord, I pray for everyone in this room and everyone listening. Lord, listening on the radio or watching online. Lord, I pray for everyone. First of all, Lord, if there's one or several that aren't saved, I pray, dear Lord, that right now you would show them their sinful condition. Lord, it's not just that, oh, they made some bad decisions and they're not making the best choices. Lord, show them that they're a sinner. We all are. Lord, if there's somebody that knows that but knows that you're the Savior, Lord, I pray right there where they are that they would pray and ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior and forgive them their sins. Just word of prayer right here in this auditorium silently where you and God can hear or watching or listening. Pray and ask the Lord to be your Savior. And then if you're saved and you've been spending too much of your time looking back in the rearview mirror, back at your past failures, can I give you this verse? Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Don't tell me about what you've done in the past. Those things are behind. We're looking forward to what God wants you to do. Look forward. Claim what God has for you. You say, I don't know what it is. Neither do I. But by faith, say, God, I'm up for whatever you got. And then be strong in the Lord. Bless us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play something softly through? If God's speaking to your heart, I don't want you to leave without you doing business with the Lord. I didn't come this morning just because it was Sunday morning. I came because I was excited to meet with you and give you this from the Word of God. You're not looking and listening at a pastor that just gave the latest installment of some lesson that got handed down from headquarters. I believe with all my heart that I just gave you, as far as my heart knows, the message that was handed down from heaven. And I believe it was for you. Are you here looking back too much? Just so much of your time is spent looking back in the rearview mirror about all the failures or successes, disappointments and heartaches. I remind you again how big that windshield is compared to how little that rearview mirror is. My friend, you weren't made to spend all your time looking at that rearview mirror. You were made to look out that windshield to see what's coming at you. Would you turn around and look and claim what God has for you? If you're here today, you need somebody to pray with you, you need somebody to bear a burden with you, this altar's open for you. We've got time. We'll take time. You're welcome to leave your seat and come down here and pray. Thank you so much. You may look this way. I just want to say Happy New Year and thank you for being in church today. I don't know how many was here, but we got a great crowd this morning. We got several folks that are traveling and some of them are sick, and you pray one for another. Be praying for Preacher Lastly as you go. And if we hear anything before tonight, I'll let you know that. But it may take a little bit for Sunday, and a lot gets happening sometimes, but depends on who's on call and duty. So keep him in prayer. Pray one for another. I hope you're able to come back tonight. We'll have a great time in God's house, and we'll look forward to all that God has for us. I'm going to ask Brother Rick Hall, if you don't mind, to come up the platform, Brother Rick, and dismiss us in prayer. Give me a chance to get back to the lobby, and my family and I will be back there, and if we can be a blessing to you, we'd love to. Otherwise, we'll greet you on the way out, and I just want to say again, thank you for being in church.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today. We pray that you'll this message has touched our heart as we go into the new year, that you'd help us to be strengthened by your word, that you'd help us and guide us, Father, that we might serve you better. Thank you again, Father, for the cross, for the shed blood, and Father, for the opportunity to serve you. Go with us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.